And Lord, we're praying for healing in the service today and restoration. May your mighty word fall today. We ask, God, that what you have to say, it's not my words, but it's your words, and may we be released. May we be healed. May we be restored. May we be strengthened and encouraged for what you have for us today. This we ask in agreement in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We praise God for today. I am grateful and honored that Rabbi has asked me to stand in the gap, if you will, for the service. We're going to be coming from, as you can see, Acts 3, verse 1 through 6, receive the unexpected, and it's going to be unexpected, but I ask that you receive it anyway. Amen? I can tell you straight up right now, and I'll say it throughout the service, this message was tearing me up all week, last week, as soon as he gave it to me, and then he started, because we're familiar with the scripture. However, the direction he took me in was the hard part, Tammy. But God is going to do a new thing in all of us through this. Amen? So the next slide, please, and we'll read this together. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m., the time of prayer. A man lame from birth was being carried. Every day they used to put him at the temple gate called Beautiful, so he could beg for Zedek money from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive Zedekah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Money. But Peter, along with John, looked straight at him and said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, HaNazarite, get up and walk." Amen? Amen. So when I looked at this scripture, I some things came out to me. And there were five things that came out to me right up front. This man had no words of faith. He laid in his condition. Amen? No words of faith. And the question is, where was his family? He was a beggar. To me, equals no independent resources. He was passed by daily. So he dealt with loneliness like we may all have never recognized. And his condition was from birth to manhood, which means he laid in this condition for years. Amen? So the message today is to reveal to you the power of our words. And that's the part that was beating me up over the last couple of weeks, because the power of our words are actually powerful. next slide, please. And we can see this illustrated in Genesis chapter 1, 2 through 26, and we won't read all that, but it just shows us that that the genesis of Elohim's creative power. He used words only to create things in heaven, in earth, in the ocean, and within the earth. And "let there be" was spoken time and time again through creation. And you can see that's just some stars and planets, because he spoke it all into existence. Amen? So it shows you the power of words. We don't have creative power, but we have power in our words to do other things for the kingdom of God. The next slide, please. Proverbs 18, 20, and 21. This is the essence of our text for words. Now, the questions are, was a lame man releasing life or death with his words? And the question for us, are you releasing life or death with your words? And we were praying upstairs, and Doreen prayed into this, and I'm saying, "Lord, thank you." She's in tune with you and this message. So the first thing that I want you to understand, words connect us to God. Amen? Words connect us to God. It's important that we understand that. The revelation is that words connect us to God, from spiritual and heavenly to natural and physical. Amen? So we have to understand that this man, he didn't speak anything other than may I have something from you? The word doesn't tell us anything other than that. So now, I don't know the value of words, put a dollar sign on them, but God is recording every one of them for us to give an account. Y'all know that, right? I want that to be clear for all of us. I'm not sure that there's an angel recording it, because he probably wouldn't be able to keep up with some of you. Amen. Recording all the words you say, he may not be able to handle all that, but God is. I believe God simply remembers every one of them. If you think that it's a burden for God, think again. He is so, I am so thankful there is an eraser button in heaven called grace for the words we've spoken. Amen. I'm so glad there's an eraser. And it was through the blood of Yeshua, because I've said some pretty stupid things. How about you? Amen. Psalms 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God has been good to us, and I am grateful that he has erased the words that have come out of my mouth at some point and some time. Amen. And we need that eraser, because we certainly would not be able to make it without him. The power of the tongue. It just shows us. The next slide, please. The power of the tongue. We know that the word is declared that in John 1:1, in the beginning, before all time, was the word Messiah, and the word was with God, and the word was God himself. Amen. That shows you the power of the word, because he came and he was the living word, and God used him for our benefit. Amen. So I want to share with you this proverb, Proverbs 18:20-21, because did you go too far? Can you go back? Thank you. Amen. So Proverbs 18:20-21. A man's stomach will be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. He will be satisfied with the consequences of his words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will indulge it, will eat its fruit, and bear the consequences of their words. Powerful statement, right? Life and death is in the power of our words. It doesn't change anything because we say it. It doesn't retract it. Once it's out, it's out. Amen? Once it's out, it's out. And when we look at Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 13, that's the next one right there, right? Amen. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that you are proclaiming. For if you confess with your mouth that Yeshua is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart it is a belief for righteousness, and with the mouth it is confessed for salvation. For the scriptures say, whosoever trusts in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, richly generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of Adonai will be saved. Now, Peter and John use the power of their words, the power of the word, in verse 6 to transform this man's condition. Amen? It is amazing of how much emphasis God puts on words in his word. It is important, it's imperative that we understand this. So the next slide will show us that words connect us to each other. Amen. Words connect us to each other. So when I look at what the scripture says about life and death, they're in the power of the tongue, I think about any time I've had a disconnect, 99% of it was because of words that were involved with someone. 99% of the time, if there's a disconnect, there words have been exchanged between me and you, or you and someone else. Amen. If we wait for the great godly marriage to start, it must start with our mouths. If you have a bad marriage, it starts with your mouth. We have to understand that. Because some of us are speaking life or death over our marriage. life or death into our finances, life or death into our family, life or death with our words into our health, life or death in this synagogue or other churches that believe in Yeshua, the Lord Jesus. We're going to either pour life into it or we're going to put death into that. But that's what we have to get out of this message. Amen? We don't have creative power because the name it and claim it movement, you remember that? Listen, I named and claimed $10,000 in the bank account a whole bunch of times. I can tell you it don't work. You're going to have to work for it, or you have to be blessed with it, but it's not going to show up because you name it and claim it, grab it and flab it and grab it, or whatever they called it. You understand? That just doesn't work. I can tell you, God is the only one that has said, let there be, and then there was. So our words must agree with God's plan for our lives, which is life. Or we can agree with Satan's plans, which is death. Amen? That is the only way. And there's no other way. And so I encourage you to, what does the word say? Choose life. Amen? Choose life. Choose life. I'm grateful because I'm going to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. I'm going to actually go to verse 25 and 6. Amen. God is good all the time. Amen. So it says here, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the word, by the washing of water with his word. So even the bride of Christ has to be washed with the watering of the word. And the message is, I'm not trying to condemn anyone. I don't want that to be the case. But I want us to be convicted about our words and how we use them and what we say and how we go about it. And if there's one thing that is good out of this is that we can change it at any time. Amen? And whatever your husband or your wife is good at, and I have to learn this for myself. That's why it was convicting to me. Because it doesn't matter if he can only boil water. Some days you got to get up and say, you're the best water boiler I ever seen in my life. Amen? And let it be as that. Like, you did good. You did good. You did good. Don't boil anymore, though, but you did good. Amen, amen. We could go to the next slide. And praise God. So you see there in this amplified version of Ephesians 5:26, I highlighted in blue unity, because that's what it comes down to. It comes down to unity within our house first and then within the community that we're a part of. And so it speaks to the love that we should have for one another. Amen? Next slide, please. Number three, words cost. Words cost. Words cost. Can I speak freely for a moment with you all? I'm glad you say yes. However, you really can't speak freely because words cost. They cost. They cost. I love our Constitution. The United States of America has a great Constitution. I love our freedoms. Don't get me wrong. I've served in the military. I was willing to give my life for the country. And those constitutions are absolutely wonderful. However, I can, and you really can say, you can't say what you want. We really can't say what we want. You can't just speak to anybody how you want to speak to anybody. You can't just blurt out in a setting if you're on the airline and you're talking about, oh, that movie was the bomb. You can't say that on the plane. Amen? I'm glad we have the freedoms of the Constitution, but you really can't say what you want because words do cost. Amen? We're going to have to give an account to God for all of them. We talked about that. It's going to happen no matter what. Does that mean that words are free? Are they not free? What does that mean? if we have the right of freedom of speech, and yes, I love it. Yes, of course. You can say anything you want to your spouse. Can you do that? Can you say anything to your children? Can you say anything to the teacher? Can you say anything to your boss? No, you cannot. It will cost. And what it costs are relationships. Words cost relationships. Because once they go out, they can't come back. I know America gives us that right, and I agree with it again. I say it so much, so much, so much. I'm glad that I'm in America, a citizen of the United States. But years ago, I became a citizen of heaven. So that supersedes what America says, or what Israel says, or what other nations may say. We have to give an account to our God, to whom we love. I tell you, if God gave us the opportunity to stand before him, which we are, but prior to the final stand before him, he would ask us, what have you been saying with your mouth? He would ask us, what have you used your mouth to do? Now, I know that there, in some states like Nevada, prostitution is legalized and marijuana is legalized. And so you use your mouth to court this person. You use your mouth to buy that drug. And so when you get to heaven, God is going to say, what were you doing? Be like, well, Lord, in Nevada, it was legal. It was legal. Do you think God is going to let us really get away with that? I don't think so. It doesn't matter, because there is a higher authority than America. There is a higher authority than Israel. Freedom of speech is a right, but I'm saying that words cost. Apparently, this beggar had the right to beg, but did it cost him to ask? Did it cost him to ask? It cost him his health. It cost him his well-being, because he didn't think that there was any other way that he could go about this. Amen? So, the next slide, please. Let's look at this scripture about words. This is Yeshua talking, Matthew 12, 30 through 37. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. For the reason I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but blasphemy against the Ruach will not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Ruach HaKodesh will not be forgiven, neither in this age nor the one to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree rotten and its fruit rotten. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man from his good treasury brings forth good, and the evil man from his evil treasury brings forth evil. But I tell you that on the day of judgment, men will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Words cost. Amen? So people have the debate about the unpardonable sin. That's it right there. That's the one. It's not the adulterer. It's not the murderer. It's not the liar, slander. It's not the cheater. It's not all of that. It's the one who disagrees and speaks against the Ruach HaKodesh about what Yeshua came to do for all who would call on his name to be saved. Amen? Is that clear enough? Psalms 39:1 in the Amplified, it says, I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will muzzle my mouth while the wicked are in my presence. Amen? It is amazing how much words can cost. It is amazing. Words hurt people. We know that, and we're going to talk about that next. So the next slide, please. Words hurt. This is a part of the message that we pray healing into each and every one of us. We've prayed this morning without us even knowing the message, the other ones that were up there praying. And we're going to pray after the service regarding this. Amen? So the next slide, please. Proverbs 26, 18 and 19. Like a madman shooting firebrands and deadly arrows, so is one who deceives his friends and says, I was only joking. Are you releasing life or death? I was only joking. Has anybody ever said that? Anybody ever heard that? Well, that's a scripture right there for all of us that says, well, there's a little more to it than just joking around. Amen? At the they call it back in then, at the water cooler at work, at a, in the break room, wherever you are, you know, the jokes, they last. And here's the lie, that they will be wiped away, that I was just joking, I was just kidding. But the scripture tells us different. This is considered slander by the Lord. It's considered slander. The little jabs, the little stabs of sarcasm, it all hurts. I was just kidding, I didn't mean it. Okay. Can you imagine telling God that what you said, and you call him and he calls on you and he says, okay, now tell me, what were you really trying to say? Well, Lord, I was just joking. I didn't mean that. He's going to say, really? Do you think so? I'm the one who knows the intent of the heart. So you can't pass God on that line because he doesn't want to hear it. Peter and John made this, the man look at them so he could see that they were for real. What if they stood up to the guy and said, listen, when he walked up to him, he reached his hand out and he was like, psych. He's begging, and they walk up and, oh, can we help you? No, psych. I was just joking. I wasn't going to help you. Or he introduced, or trying to introduce Yeshua to them, and they made it a joke. How would that be? How can that be? It would be terrible. Amen? This man was begging and hopeless in his heart because he came out of his mouth daily. Same bat time, same bat channel, he was laid at the gate. Same time, same day, and all he spoke was, I'm begging, I need help, I can't, I'm hopeless, this is it, this is all for me, this is I'm done. That's not what God wanted for him. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Yeshua compared words to fruit, but trees have roots. What is the root of the tree that has been bared fruit and that has come out of your mouth or my mouth? What type of fruit has been coming from the root and the tree in each of you? Amen? I know it's going to be quiet. I was quiet too. I didn't even want to talk to Rebecca this past couple weeks. So I understand why you all are quiet, because we know. So by the way, this sermon is better than y'all reacting. I want you to know. Praise God. It is better than y'all reacting, but that's okay. What's the root? What are the negative words that have been coming out of you? The only way to deal with them is to repent and ask for forgiveness. The only way to deal with the root is to repent and ask for forgiveness, because that's the only way it will be done in you. Some of you are dealing with the bad, the mean, the nasty, the hateful, demeaning, the racist, the sarcastic, the anti-woman, anti-man words someone said to you years ago. Some of you are dealing with that. And we pray healing into you for that. Some of us are still dealing with the childhood things that were said to you. Some of you are dealing with the things that were said to you when you were a preteen, when you were a teenager, when you went to college, or when you started your first job, or you were in college and your family was like, you're not going to make it. You're not going to get out. You're still carrying that. May God release you today and heal you from all of that. Amen? We should give God a hand praise right there for that. Whatever those words are, forgiveness is the only way to defeat, to combat, to destroy those words spoken over you and spoken over me. We repent for our own words and we forgive them for their words. We repent for our own words spoken to ourselves, and we ask for forgiveness for those who spoke words over us. Some of you can't have conversation with somebody else because they remind you of somebody else that you don't even know. That they don't know that you're they're reminded of that person. I'm sad to say it happens to me, and it happened to me too many times. I'm sorry I remind you of him, but I am not him. I'm sorry you had that bad experience, but that's not our experience. I tell each of my children, have a relationship directly with me. Don't have it through your brother. Don't have it through your mom. You have it with me because I'm going to have it with you. And I'm not going to have my relationship with you with your brother because you are you and he is he. Do y'all understand that? But we're carrying this hurt. We're carrying these offenses. And when someone speaks to you in a tone or in a way that is not pleasing to you, you're having flashbacks of what somebody used to do. And I tell you, I talk to my wife and she tells me, honey, it's not what you say so much as how you say it. But I say to my wife, honey, I love you. And I'm never going to try and hurt you. All I want is the best. Are you hearing me? When I talk to my children, I'm saying, it's hard, but you got to get what I'm saying. The last thing I want to do is leave this life and have spoken and talked and prayed and pleaded, and they don't get what I said. Because I can't talk to my mom and dad to say, what did you say? I forgot. What did you say? What was mom trying to tell me? While you have each other, say the right words. Speak the right words. Receive the unexpected. This man was thinking he was going to get money, and they said, I have something better for you. I have Yeshua HaMashiach, the one that can make you get up and walk. I'm only trying to tell my wife, honey, stop. Don't stop there in your thinking. Think more. I'm only trying to help this go better, because at some point we're going to separate and one of us got to carry on the wishes that we had for the children collectively. I'm not trying to leave here, but I'm telling you, it's real. Words are powerful, but the thing that we have to do, those words are like trees, and you and me have allowed them to produce fruit in our lives. This man was described as a lame man from birth. Birth to man takes years. Birth to man took years for him to hear the nasty talk and the nasty words. And there goes that beggar. There goes that bum. And some of us have let that fruit grow on our tree. And it's time today to cut it down. To cut it down, to stop the madness. Expect the unexpected. Today, we're going to break it off. We're going to repent and forgive and cut down the trees. There's a story of a man and his wife. They went to a small town in Tennessee. And while they were there, he was going to seminary, and they were at a luncheon. And they could see this old man with gray hair going to each table. And the guy, the man going to minister, going to seminary, is like, honey, I hope he doesn't come over here. I just don't want to be bothered. So the old man just made himself around, his way around. And finally, he came over and said to them, hi, how are you? My name is, where are you from? Oh, such and such, we're here for seminary. Oh, so you teach preachers how to preach, do you? Well, something like that, the minister said. He said, well, let me tell you a story right quick if I can. Right out that window at the base of the mountain, there was an area where people lived. And when I was a little boy, they had a church there also. And during this church service, a little boy would always be asked, who's your daddy? Everywhere he went, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? And so the boy would leave the service and try and get out early before anybody asked him that question, because he was so ashamed that he didn't have a father in his life. And so one day, as the old man finished telling the story, a new preacher came to that church at the base of the hill. And so he would watch a little boy, and he would always say, you know, be blessed, have a wonderful, blessed day. But then at the end of the service, he would, if he didn't know anyone, he would say, who's your papa? Who's your daddy? And the little boy got out every time, but one time he ended the service too fast. And the little boy was caught. And the preacher said, son, how are you? I just wanted to ask you, who's your daddy? And everybody stopped in the congregation. So the preacher sensed and discerned that there was an issue. And he said, oh, I know you. I know who your father is. I can see the resemblance. You are a child of the Most High God. Yeah. And he looked back at the minister, the old man, and said, that was a great story, huh? He said, yeah. He said, you be blessed and continue to learn the word. And he walked away. And so the man asked his wife, do you know who that was? Who that? What? What? And he said, no, I don't know who he is. And he summoned the lady over. He said, ma'am, can you tell me who that old guy was? He said, that man was Ben Hooper, former governor of Tennessee. He was that little boy that he talked about. Don't let words take root and tell you your life is not valuable. Don't let words take root because they are wicked, they are foul, they are wretched, but don't let them take root. We have to figure out at this point where that root is, and we have to chop it down. Amen? Next slide, please. Number five, words last. Words last. Words last. The truth, they last. The lie, they are evaporative. The truth is words lie. I mean, words, the truth is words last, but the lie is they are evaporative. They just poof, be gone after you say them. They just disappear. They don't ever come back. They don't ever come back. They don't ever come back. That's a lie. They stick around. Think about some of the speeches that Martin Luther King spoke, and they still give you goosebumps on a recording that was 50 years ago. Pick anybody else you want. The words of Abraham Lincoln. Pick anybody you want. They last. James 3:5, we're going to get into James 3, but it talks about sparks setting a forest on fire. How is it that words that we speak over ourselves and others have said about us have been so devastating? It's because we've never fully repented and we've never fully forgiven that person who came along and hit the bullseye of our tree. And the forest inside of us goes up in flames of devastation. We've never hit it. We got to go back one, James. Sorry. We've watched people speak to us. We've listened to people speak to us, and they have been hitting the bullseye of our tree. Are y'all hearing me? They have hit it full boom because we have not repented fully for what we've said to ourselves, and we have not forgiven fully for what they've said to us. Have you ever thought, how did this get so big? Why did I get so mad? Why am I so irritated? Because sometimes, and most of the time, we don't investigate ourselves. We don't investigate ourselves. We don't ask ourselves, where is that coming from enough? And I tell you, I know I drive my family crazy because I'm always doing that for me. And I try not to put it on them so much, but I don't want them to be comfortable because comfortable gets you in trouble. God will never let you be comfortable. I don't care what you say, how much you pray, all this going on. You can't just sit back as a believer with the gospel inside of you, with the Ruach HaKodesh in you, and not do something with it. He will not let you rest, people. So he won't let your mouth be left alone either. Hello? He's not going to let it be left alone, because he's going to always want you to check it, because if you don't self-check now, you're going to come into account with him who is the ultimate spell checker. Are you hearing me? I don't care what language you can talk in. Hebrew, you can talk in Spanish, you can talk Latin, you can be Greek, you can be English. It doesn't matter. He still knows it. Russian, it don't matter. It doesn't matter. Tammy's up here signing. He still knows the words that even those of hard of hearing speak to each other. Don't be mistaken. So many trees were allowed to take root a forest, and we never, ever cut it down. We never cut it down. This is a time where it requires supernatural, spirit-filled intervention. This man had heard and believed his entire life that his condition was permanent. The people believed it. His family believed it. They believed it. The priests, the leaders of the temple, they all believed it. But Peter and John refused to receive the report. Are you hearing me? And it says that Peter and John would go daily. This is the ninth hour. This is time for prayer. So they were going, and then one day it hit Peter and John. Apparently, hold on a minute. I don't have any money. Even if I had money, I can't give it to him. I need to give him something better. You guys are familiar with the story. They got him up. They helped him to walk. Amen? We have to understand that. I want to read this. James put it up a little bit early, but let's look at it. James chapter 3, and this is from the Message Bible. Amen? It is some tough things in here, but let's look at it together. Don't be in any rush to become a teacher. My friends, he's saying, don't do this. Don't come on up here. Don't come up here. Don't be in a rush to do this. No. Teaching is highly responsible work. Teachers are held to the strictest standards, Jerry, teacher, and none of us perfectly qualified. We get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. Are y'all okay with that? Amen. If you could find someone whose speech is perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of life. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls a whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest storm. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. But our speech can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. This is your mouth. This is your mouth. This is scary. That's why it's in red, because it's scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues, we bless God, our Father. With the same tongues, we curse the very men and women he made in his image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. My friends, he's pleading with you right now. This can't go on. A spring doesn't gush fresh water one day and brackish the next, does it? Apple trees don't bear strawberries, do they? Raspberry bushes don't bear apples, do they? You're not going to dip into a polluted mud hole and get a cup of clear, cool water, are you? Not according to that, amen? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm just going to say this to you, and we're gonna be wrapping up here. Acts 3:7 shows this man's faith when he reaches hand to Peter. In verse 11, he says he held on to it tightly. With the words they spoke to him, changed the course of his life. It transformed him. And that's what God wants to have happen to our mouths. He just doesn't want us to not be conscious of our words. He wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind and the washing of the word of God, because that's what Yeshua, the Messiah, is wants from his bride, for us to be washed with the watering of his word. If we say we are the bride, and we are the bride, then we have to be cleansed by the word. We have to watch what we say, because the tongue is a wanton killer. The default setting is to destroy. Are y'all hearing me? I told you this message was tearing me up the last couple weeks. And I wanted to make it as plain as I could, as simple as I could. Because when we look at the text, you're receiving the unexpected from the text about the way this man felt and thought and spoke of himself. And Peter and John said, enough with that. And he reached out his hand and he got on his feet and he said his ankles, his legs came together strong. He went out leaping and jumping and praising God. But check this out. The Bible goes on to say that he did not leave their side when they were in the temple praying. Read it for yourself. He was transformed by new words that have a lasting effect. Yes, there are bad words, but new words last also. That means you can bless your family. You can do all the things that you want to do by speaking it. Next slide, please. Praise God, praise God. We're going to read it. This goes on with the remaining of James, and it's important. I paused for a moment because I was thinking of letting you just read it yourself, but I'm going to read it for you and read it with you. Do you want to be counted wise, to build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk that counts. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you are wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth, these are all things with the mouth. To make yourself sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal, cunning, devilish, conniving. Whenever you're trying to look better than others or get better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at the other's throats. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings. Not hot one day and cold the next. Not two-faced it. Anybody ever heard of that word? It's the word of God. It's just the message version. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. Amen? Next slide, please. These are, to summarize, these are four amazing facts from John 3. Number one, the tongue is disproportionately powerful. It's disproportionately powerful. It is amazing that that is a fact. It's amazing that that's a fact. The tongue is inherently evil. It's amazing that that's fact. I said a minute ago, the default setting is to just destroy with our mouth. It's just, that is. With Adonai's help, we can change this because we start in our heart. Amen? The tongue is untamable. The word says you can tame a lion, a tiger, a bear, oh my. But you can't tame the tongue. Amazing. The tongue is contrastingly productive. Because even the universe can't do what the tongue can do. Once the water is water, it can be ice or whatever, but it's going to flow water. The tree is going to, an orange tree is going to do oranges. Peach tree is going to do peaches. Apple is going to do apple. But we can speak evil or good. We can speak life or death from the same place, but an apple tree can't create oranges. Are you hearing me? Contrastingly productive. The key is to submit your tongue to the Holy Spirit daily. The good news is that the tongue, your mouth, can bless also. Practice the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Next slide. Look at that. And we're not going to even go to the scripture, but I wanted you guys to see this, and so did the Lord, for sure. Him first and me saying, yes, Lord. The 10 deadly sins we commit with our mouths. So that you're aware, Proverbs has three major themes that it addresses: your money, your morals, and your mouth. Lying is talked about. Sowing discord is talked about, which is a very bad thing. Gossip. Y'all quiet still, right? Slander. Slander is an abomination to God. Talebearing is abomination to God. Cursing. Blasphemy, filthy language, which includes the rest of the cursing, contentious speech, and unbelief. The unbelief is what was keeping this man lame all of his life. He would not believe, and no one came to him to erase all of this stuff, because don't you think his life had some lies in it? Don't you think because of him it sowed some discord, because people, someone to help him, someone to give to him, others like, get away, don't do it. Imagine that. Think about, go back in the story. Be that individual. Gossip was all the time, because here he comes again. From birth to now, here he is. Slander. Him and his family were slandered. Talebearing. Whose fault? Whatever. Cursing. Listen, how many times did his hand get smacked away? Can you imagine that? How many times was something snatched from him? From some of the religious people going in the temple. Blasphemy. He probably did it himself against God. Filthy language, I can only imagine. Contentious speech, and we talked about unbelief. God wants to do a new thing in each and every one of us. He wants us to know that the good news is that we can heal the broken hearts. We can heal the things that have happened to us. And so we're going to pray right now. Father, I thank you for your word. It was a hard message, but it was a needed message. We thank you, Lord, that because of your word, we can be healed, restored, delivered, and set free. And you sent Yeshua. You came yourself, Lord Jesus, to release us from this pit, from these damning words, these condemning words. But Lord, we pray that we're not under condemnation, but we are under conviction to watch the things that come out of our mouth. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so, Lord, help us to turn our hearts around. Lord, I pray healing over each and every one listening to me right here live, and anybody who will pick up this tape later, that, Lord, they will be released from the bullseye that has been on the trees that produce the negative fruit on all of us, Lord. I erase it, eradicate it, and destroy it by the word of the living God. I pray, Lord, that you will repent. We will repent. We will repent of the words that we've said to ourselves, against our family, against our finances, against our jobs, against our health, against relationships, against this nation, against our leaders. Oh, Lord, I pray repentance over all of us. And then, Lord, I pray forgiveness for those who spoke against us. We erase, we destroy, we put the fire of the Holy Spirit against those words and us, and we put the wall of the blood of Yeshua against those words against us. We erase them, we chop it at the root, God, and uproot every tree, that every tree that bared any fruit that was negative, that was that was beating us down for all these years, Lord, today healing is in the house of God. Healing is here. Receive the unexpected today. I claim victory over your word. I claim deliverance for your people. And God, we will give you praise, glory, and honor all of our lives. And we will speak with a new fountain called the mouth to please you, to be delivered from our past, and to go forward in our future, speaking praises and blessings and honor and respect to you and one another all the days of our lives. It is over. It is done. We seal it with your word and seal it with the blood of Yeshua. In his mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.